Proverbs chapter number 3, verses 5 through 7. Familiar passage of scripture. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Amen. And so the beauty about this passage that I love is that it's actually going to be the foundation for us for the next couple of weeks. As you know, on this Sunday, we're going to start a five-week series entitled Figuring Things Out. And so each week, we want to take a key area of our lives that during this time that you and I are probably trying to figure out. And I believe that throughout the course of these 5 weeks, God is going to speak to us in a very specific, strategic, and practical way for how you and I can harness this time in such a way that we're better off when this season ends. But most of all, we're better off in this season because of the word of God and what God is going to share. So quick prayer, Father, thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to start today talking about figuring things out. And again, I want to echo like PK. You know, we have thoroughly enjoyed you participating, giving your comments, giving your emojis, your high fives, your prayer requests. So don't just sit back and relax. I'm asking you to be interactive with us as we go through this new series that we're starting. Figuring things out. You're going to need to take some notes. Figuring things out. And today we want to talk about figuring out my faith. My faith. F-A-I-T-H. Not my fate, but my faith. Figuring out my faith. Because here's the fascinating part, and I want to give credit to a statement that I heard last week in a conversation with Pastor Sheila Jenkins. As many of you know, she's like an auntie here at Discover Life Church. Everybody look at her like auntie is home. And we were just talking last week, and she made a statement to me, and I know I'm going to do a disservice in not saying it correctly, but she made a statement. She's like, during this time, many people have too much time on their hand. And I really appreciate that statement because, like, that is so true. Because we have many, you know, restrictions on us because of this virus situation where we cannot go and do as we normally do in our regular life. So literally, part of control has been taken away. And as a result, we have more time on our hand, some of us, than we normally would have. And here's the thing. When you have too much time on your hand, the human tendency is to start trying to figure things out because now the mind starts thinking about how can I get control of my life back? Okay. How can I make sense out of what I can't make sense of right now? In times of uncertainty, that is the time most of us start trying to make sense. Right. And if we're not careful, downtime can become discouraging time.
That's good.
If we're not careful, this downtime, what I mean by downtime, where you and I have more time on our hand to probably think, dream, and plan.
Right.
But if you're not careful, downtime becomes discouraging time as opposed to downtime becomes developing time.
Okay.
And I figure in this season, this is one of the series, a few series, and I'll be honest, you guys know at Discover Life Church, I don't throw out God said a lot, but I really feel impressed in my heart when this series was birthed inside of me by God, that this is a pivotal time for you and I to really start figuring things out in such a way that our lives are radically changed for the glory of God and for the betterment of our own sense of sanity and stability. Because if you're honest, many of us in this time of uncertainty, we're fighting for our sanity.
That's real.
We're fighting for a sense of emotional stability. We're fighting for a sense of financial stability. We're fighting for professional stability.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to deal with over the course of this season of teaching as we deal with figuring things out.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, I really want to kind of emphasize that during this time, where our minds can have a tendency to drift,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's not so much about figuring out the next business plan, and that's important, and if God's putting his finger on that in your life, then that's great, do that, but sometimes the Lord just wants to deal with the foundation upon which your life is resting, you know, and we don't realize that our foundation has shifted, and it has my foundation, and we'll kind of get into it today, has my foundation shifted from the place of faith to the place of putting my trust in my job or putting my trust in my health or putting my trust
government.
In my youth or in the government. So this will be a really good time for us to say, okay, Lord, you know what? Search my heart.
Yes.
You know, the
psalmist
asked God to search his heart. And if there's anything in him, right?
Take it out.
That's not like you, Lord. Take it out. So this is a good time to, and you're home, right? So you're home. So kick your shoes off, relax, sit back, and just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart, to the real you.
To the real you. Because as someone once said, you really, when I say you, I'm not trying to be condescending, but speak to us generally.
Yeah.
Let me just personalize it then. I need to think about what I think about. What I think about. And during this time, I need to think about what I'm thinking about. As I'm trying to figure things out, I need to think about what I'm thinking about, what I'm trying to figure out, how I'm trying to figure it out, so that when we get through this, you don't come out bitter. You don't come out blaming people.
Yeah.
You don't come out in condemnation, but you come out better because you figure things out in such a way that God has now positioned you to prosper in the next season. Okay. But I don't want to keep talking about the next season. I want to talk about winning now, because watch this. We're in the book of Proverbs, and for many people, I want to make sure that we're all clear. A proverb is a wise saying.
Okay.
It is a wise saying. Proverb is a wise saying. But let me drill it down a little bit more. It is a wise saying, or it is an insightful truth that's designed to give you an advantage or give you a leverage in life. So a proverb isn't just a wise saying. It isn't just saying something wise. Ooh, that's wise.
Deep for the sake.
Right. It is not just being deep for the sake of deep. A proverb is given so that you can get an advantage or have a leverage. Watch this. In a time where other people may be at a disadvantage because they lack what you know and what you have.
That's good.
So a proverb is designed to position you for prosperity, victory, and breakthrough in conditions that others are at a disadvantage.
That's good.
Now,
that's good.
I'm going to challenge you and give you some pushback, because during this time, especially if you have made Jesus Lord of your life, I am telling you, there is a word from God, if you latch on to it, that you can thrive in the midst of trouble. You can have calm in the midst of chaos.
Yes.
You can prosper when other people are panicking. If you and I would take the word of God in such a way that it causes us to have an advantage, it causes us to have leverage at a time when other people may be at a disadvantage. Because here is the truth. Being a believer has benefits.
Amen.
Being a believer. And that's why the first thing I got to figure out, as Solomon says, is my faith.
Good.
Because everything is going back to faith. And I'll tell you this, and then I'll start giving us some practical ways to figure out our faith. I think it was probably about 2 weeks ago, I told you how God really began to deal with me on what is your role, Roy Barrett, as a pastor in this environment, in this season, in this moment. What is your assignment? And God, it's clear as I know my name is Roy Barrett, as clear as I know this woman beside me sweats me, has the vapors, as much as I know she looks at me with godly lust and intentions.
Yes.
Let the Lord speak. Let the Lord move in this place. As much and as clear as God says, you are to teach and to bring my people back to understanding that it is a walk of faith with me. And so that's why you're going to have these 5 weeks.
Good.
Even though next week won't be about faith, it really will be about faith. Because faith is the foundation for a strong, vibrant walk in God. And that is the first thing you got to figure out. Because during this time, it's not so much about where is God, it's really where is my faith. And I'm not saying like we have lost our faith. I'm not saying your faith is absent, because everybody got faith.
Right.
It just may be in a different container. Some people got faith in God right now.
Mm-hmm.
Some people got faith in the government. Some people got faith in their job. Some people got faith in their own skills. Some people got faith in their hustle. So faith is not absent. It's the matter of how do I harness my faith at this time so that it works for my good, so that it works for the sense of security and stability in this season of my life. That's why he tells us in this season, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. He says the first thing you got to figure out in times of uncertainty, it is your faith. It is your faith in God. And I love one of my heroes from afar that I love, his ministry, his life, his character, just everything about him is Dr. David Ireland in Christ Church, New Jersey. And she knows I love him, love his teaching and everything. And I love how he says faith is the acronym for full access in the heavenlies. Faith, full access in the heavenlies.
That's great.
Full access in the heavenlies. That's good. The foundation of everything about your walk with God is predicated on you figuring out your faith right now. Again, not that your faith is absent, but how can you harness it? How can you synchronize it? How can we synergize it in such a way right now that it works for our good? And I'm just going to share four from this passage, just four practical ways on how to figure out your faith right now. Because let's be real. I can't get too close to the camera, but let's be honest. For some of us, our faith is challenged right now.
Right.
It is stretched right now. Some of our faiths are bruised right now.
Yeah.
And let me give you permission. And I may not be in the majority, but many pastors and leaders, but I do feel like I am safe from a scriptural standpoint. Let me tell you, it is okay right now. If you feel like I don't understand God, you just started the job in January and now you just got furloughed. It is okay. I give you permission because I believe the scripture supports. It is okay to feel what you're going through.
Right.
You are not a robot.
That's good.
You are not a robot.
Yeah.
It is okay to feel the tension, to feel it because you're human. It's okay to feel like your children getting on your last nerve because they ain't going to school and you trying to figure out if you can hire a substitute teacher. It is okay to feel that. It does not define you.
That's right.
We just want to shore up the foundation so that as you figure things out the right way and you figure things out the way that God can honor. And we're going to start with faith.
Good.
Come on, keep your question, comments, or anything's going on. I'm going to be looking at this, my notes. PK's going to be trying to get your comments, and so we're going to work this thing out. Number one, how do I figure out my faith in this time? Number one, restrain my heart from being divided.
Yes.
Restrain my heart from being divided. Restrain my heart from being divided. What do you mean, restrain my heart from being divided? Trust in the Lord with all.
All.
That's key. All your heart. Mm-hmm. Not some of your heart.
Right.
Not a part of your heart. Not the majority of your heart, not 50-50.
Yeah.
Trust in the Lord with all of our heart. So my whole heart has to be invested in trusting God. My whole heart has to be invested in trusting God.
Right.
And the thing about it is this right here. Wherever there is division, there's going to be dilution of potency. Wherever there is division, there's always going to be dilution of potency.
That's good.
The more there is division in anything, think about a magnifying glass. The more light is fractured and scattered, the weaker that light becomes.
Right, right.
But when you take a magnifying glass and you concentrate it all in one direction, a magnifying glass becomes like almost like a laser. And it can pierce through anything.
Mm-hmm.
So if I am going to organize, synchronize, synergize my faith in such a way that it works for my good, I got to restrain my heart from being divided. Here's what I discovered in my personal life. Maybe it doesn't apply to you, but maybe it's just me. In my personal life, my faith seems the most fruitless and frustrating when I have a conflict of interest.
Okay.
What do you mean conflict of interest? When part of me is interested in what God is doing, and the other part is not.
Yeah.
When there's division. Mm-hmm. When I am not fully invested in making sure I do things God's way,
right,
then it's hard to believe God. Because God starts looking at, well, you got to get all in.
Right.
Either you're going to get all in or you're not. Well, Here's a natural example. Rat poison is 90% good, 10% bad. When the rat eats it, 100% of the rat dies.
Truth.
And that 10% that is bad can kill 100% of your faith. That little small part that you think, it's not going to impact, that small part can rob you of your confidence. It can rob you of your obedience. Yeah. It can rob you of your joy. It can rob you of your peace. But what about the 90? But I still got the 90, but right. You're not potent like you can be in this season where you can thrive.
Right. No, that's so good. And it's funny because not really funny. I think it's just kind of a coincidence that in this time where we are slowed down, because everyone isn't shut down. Mm-hmm. Let's say we're moving at a slower pace, less things to do, that God is giving us an opportunity to gather our faith.
Yes.
To take it back from places where it did not need to be.
That's right.
And when the scripture says in verse 5, it says to trust in the Lord. That's an action word, trust.
That's good.
That's something that I have to do intentionally. It's not something that the Lord just does for me, but it's something that I do. It is an act of my will to put my trust in him. And to say that I need to put my trust in God, I can imply that my trust could be other places. And we said that earlier, so I'm not going to go down that road. But just to recognize in restraining my heart from being divided, it is a continuous action.
Yes.
It's so funny. You know, I love this verse. I don't know. Those of you who are a little bit older will remember the song that I think Helen Baylor sang about trusting in the Lord with all that heart. I'm not going to sing it for you, but it was a good song that came out in the late 80s. But in that song, just singing that song, you could say, gosh, I got that revelation 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. I got that understanding 5 years ago. But we can forget that it's something that daily I have to say, my heart will not be undivided.
My heart will trust.
My heart will continue to trust. But CNN said this, my heart will trust in God. Mm-hmm. But my child did this, my heart will trust in God.
The government says this, my heart will trust in God.
And can we even bring it home just a little bit? Mm-hmm. You know, you're home, you're with your spouse, you're with your children, you're with your family. And what was okay when you only saw your spouse 10 hours a day, but now that you see them 24 hours a day, you've got to say, my heart will continue to trust in God. No, but it is serious.
Confession is good for the soul.
Confession is good for the soul. I will continue to trust and be undivided.
Be undivided. And I love how you said trust is an action word. You know, the psalmist says, and I think it was David in one of his writings, he says, Lord, give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. But he wasn't saying it's passive. He was saying, I am committed to making sure my heart is undivided. Because watch this, in times of uncertainty, be careful about heart drift.
That's good. That's it.
Be careful about heart drift. The heart starts drifting because the heart is the seedbed of motivation. It is the seedbed of motivation. It is the seedbed. It is what spurs us into action. And so you have to be careful. I have to be careful that in this time of figuring things out, I got to make sure, man, don't let my heart become divided.
Right.
Because dilution is going to happen, and my faith won't be organized like it can be in such a way. It won't be concentrated to its full effect that God can give me in the valley the victory. So number one, I got to make sure that I restrain my heart. Number two, this just really speaks to everything that we're really talking about. Resist trying to make sense of everything. Resist trying to make sense of everything. Because look at the phrase, lean not to your own understanding.
Okay.
Lean not to your own understanding. Lean not. And even I'm leaning on her. That phrase lean means don't rest and don't rely on your natural senses. Just like I'm leaning on her, I am resting on her. Love it. So I'm resting on her and I am relying on her to keep me from falling.
Okay.
The text says, don't lean, don't rely and rest on your natural senses, your natural faculties to preserve you at this time. Because if I am going to figure out my faith, I can't lean on my own understanding. And I'm going to drive this point home by saying this. We are most sense-driven when we are fearful. We are most sense-driven, natural faculties-driven, when we're fearful, when we're stressful, when we're insecure, when we're uncertain, when we can't control everything, we start relying on our natural senses and faculties.
That's true.
Now, I'm not saying don't use your mind, don't think, don't plan, because faith is not being brainless or mindless.
Okay.
Let's make sure we're clear. Faith doesn't mean you're brainless or you're mindless. God gave you a brain for a reason. Here's what I wrote down in my notes, and I just want to make sure I'm clear in saying this when it comes to faith. Faith does not exclude rational thinking. It just excludes rational thinking from becoming final thinking. Mm. Now,
I would.
Danielle, I know she's watching, one of our members, praise and worship leader. I know she's probably going to put it out on Facebook even before I can repeat it again. But watch this. Faith does not exclude rational thinking. It excludes rational thinking from becoming final thinking. In other words, yes, I use my mind and I can calculate and I can figure out this is how much money I have for a budget. That's rational thinking, not irrational, but it is rational thinking. What faith does, faith says rational thinking isn't my final thinking because I'm not resting or relying on my natural senses. I'm resting and relying on the promises of God. Watch this. Natural senses are partly reliable, while God's promises are fully dependable.
That's good. Yes.
Natural senses are partly reliable, but the promises of God are fully dependable.
Yes.
Meaning, yes, my senses tells me that smell burnt. So I can trust that. So that's partly. Your senses only give you part of the equation, not the full story. So be careful about making, watch this, a final decision of partly information, of partial information. You and I, if we're going to organize our faith, resist trying to make sense out of everything, turning it over in your brain, staying up late at night, and you're just making a final decision that is based upon rational thinking. Mm-hmm. Use your senses, but recognize things are going to come together because of what God has promised, not because of what you make sense out of it.
That's good. That is good.
I'm going to say that one again.
That is good.
Faith does not exclude rational thinking. It just excludes rational thinking from becoming final thinking.
That's good.
The final say is not your feelings. That's it's good. Not your emotions. The final say is God's promises.
Right.
It's his promise. Don't lean on your own understanding. Do not lean on your natural senses. Yes, you can think. Yes, plot and plan. Now this time have shown you what. So what happens if, God forbid, we have a situation like this again? So, yeah, get a strategy, get a plan, get a business plan. We got to make sure we have a ministry plan if something happened. Get all that. What's the family plan? You do all of that. But know that rational thinking is not your final thinking. Your final conclusion has to be the promise of God.
Amen. Amen. And what do I do, though, if I feel it so strong? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm someone who feels everything. And my feelings are causing the promises of God to become blurry.
Yes. That a question?
That is a question.
Well, Jesus is still the answer.
I think it's a question.
Can I use that to go into point number three?
Absolutely.
I'm going to use that going to point number three. Acknowledge him in all your ways. And then, of course, the B clause, and he will direct your path. So number three, respond to God's authority in my life. See, the reason I don't lean on my own understanding is because I'm going to respond, watch this, not to my emotions, I'm going to respond to his authority.
Okay.
So when the script, now, I know I need to break this down because some of y'all look like, what? So watch this. When the scripture says, acknowledge him in all your ways, that is not some religious cliche that simply says God is in my heart and I love him. And I think that's it.
That's good.
I'm acknowledging God. Okay, I pray, and that's it. I understand the practice of prayer, and I'm not belittling what that little moment. Okay, I'm praying. No. What we mean, well, let me back up just to make sure I cover all the bases. Sometimes what we call prayer is really not prayer. It's us telling God what we're going to do in advance, and we're just checking a box to say we prayed. But we didn't go to God with an open heart. We just went to God to tell him what we're going to do. It's kind of like going to talk to someone and you already got your finger in your ears, so you can't hear their response. So all you did was use your mouth, but you really didn't have an open heart to hear God's response, because prayer is not a monologue, it's a dialogue. So when he says respond to God's authority in my life, what he is saying is this right here: allow God's presence and influence to govern your decisions and directions.
Okay.
So the question isn't, do I have God in my heart? The question is, what's his position in my heart? Because your faith will always be the strongest where God's lordship is ruling the most.
That's good.
Your faith and my faith will always be the strongest where God's lordship rules the most. So when he doesn't say acknowledge God on Sunday. Am I correct? Okay, come on.
He doesn't.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now watch this. Acknowledge God in all your ways. Notice how he keep emphasizing all. So it's hard in this season to have your faith work for your good if God's influence in your life does not go beyond Sunday or a crisis.
Right.
And so if I'm going to harness my faith and I got all these emotions and I really feel what I feel, here's the question. How strong is God's authority in your life? Not that you won't feel it, but what happens is the feeling of his presence becomes greater than the feeling of your pain.
That's it right there.
The feelings of his presence becomes greater than the feeling of your pain or your desire to panic or your desire to worry or your desire to fear. That his presence become more real. Mm-hmm. I don't deny it, because I think I shared it here at Discover Life Church, I think some years ago. Faith does not deny the problem. Faith denies the problem's ability to rule or even ruin my attitude or my actions.
Yes.
You go to the doctor, you got a lump. Yes, I acknowledge that there's a lump on the breast. But faith says, I am not going to let this lump cause me to become suicidal. I'm not going to let this lump define me. I am going to trust the promise of God that says in Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5, that by his stripes I am healed. I got to respond to God's authority. It is possible to have the. Have you ever gone to someone's house and you walk in their house and it is a nice house? It's a gorgeous house. PK loves, and her and Reagan, they are hooked on all these home shows, just all of the home shows. And so they love to look at the home, not the shows that just let you get in the front door and that's it, but where you go through the whole house, the backyard, everything. You see everything. Have you ever been to someone's house and you walk in, they let you come in, they open the door, you come in, but they only let you sit in one area and you desire to see the whole house because you're just like, man, I wonder. It looks so beautiful, but you're confined to this one area. That's what we often do with God.
That's true.
He comes in, and his authority has been confined to one day, Sunday.
Right. He's in the living room.
That's it.
Right.
But we want the benefit of his blessings as if we have shown him every area of the house of our heart.
They said, how do you pray?
Okay, how do you pray? We're not talking about prayer right now, but I love the question. How do you pray? I'm not sure if I understand the question, how do you pray? Remember,
prayer is not a monologue.
Prayer,
it's a dialogue.
Yeah, prayer is not, okay, gotcha. Prayer is not a monologue, it's a dialogue, which means, think about a conversation. If I just come to her, hey, I just need you to cook more food. I need you to take better care of the kids. I need you to just be there when I need you. I need you to love me, hold me, kiss me, and smell all on me. I need you just to be with me by my side 24/7. And in my times of trouble, I need you to make sure you just cover me and keep me. That's what I need from you. Amen. And then I leave. But I'd never give her time.
There would be a problem.
There would be a problem. We would. Eric and Melinda, our family lives directors, we would sign up in influential marriages for counseling. That would be a problem. And that's how many people pray. God, I need you to pay my bills. I need you to make sure I got gas in the car. I need you to make sure you got food in my pantry. I need to make sure that you provide. Take care of the kids. In Jesus' name, amen. And then we leave. God never has the opportunity to speak. We call, it's like calling somebody up on the telephone, doing all the talking, and then hanging up. It is a... I can say, yes, I let God know my feelings, my hurts, and my desires, But do I pause to let God speak back to me? You can take your needs to God, but here's the deal. Sometimes God will show you what's really bothering you ain't the root issue.
That's good. That's good.
That's prayer. That's good. When I think what I'm praying about is the real issue, and God says, that's not the real issue. The real issue is your unforgiveness. Mm-hmm. The real issue is undiscipline. The real issue is you need to spend more time in praise. The real issue is more time in worship. The real issue is more time hanging around the right people. So prayer becomes a dialogue, not a monologue. And I will encourage you. Here's the deal. I'm about to put someone on blast. Here's the deal. Next month in May, we really want to spend some time helping us to grow. And I asked the directors and the elders to help me next month in May in various areas of all of our lives to grow, not just in spiritual areas, but some marital areas, relational areas, practical areas, spiritual areas. So one of the things we want to do next month in May is just have what I would call almost like a boot camp on prayer. And so Elder Shawnette Miller, mighty woman of God who does teaching and praying on Sunday nights on her own Facebook page. Shawnette Miller, you're more than welcome to tune in. It's usually for ladies, but since I am the bride of Christ, I can tune in also. But next month, we're believing God that she is going to just facilitate just a wonderful time, she will, to learn how to deepen and how to have a prayer life. Because I am guilty of this, and I'm going to move to the last point in a moment. I hope I'm answering your question. I'm guilty of this. Early in ministry, I used to just tell people, you just need to pray. 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 And then I recognized that I skipped over a very important reality in the Bible. The disciples told Jesus, teach us to pray.
Right. That's good. Yeah.
So we have many people in church that as leaders, we are rebuking and correcting about their prayer lives, but we haven't taken the time to teach them how to pray.
Yeah.
So I can't get mad at my kids if I hadn't taught them how to behave. And so that's all number three. Respond to his authority in my life. So let me get her. So what faith becomes burdensome and bothersome when God's presence does not go beyond one day or a crisis. If God's presence and authority in my life is only for a Sunday, it's going to be hard to believe God and figure out your faith in this season. God has to be able to influence every day of my life and every area of my life. Even my finances during this time, God has to influence it.
Right.
And that's what we're going to talk about during this time also, how to figure out my finances. And you'll hear me say this, and I'm really going to the next point when we get on finances. I am very sensitive during this time to the financial needs of people. We're extremely sensitive. People are getting furloughed. People have lost their jobs. And I recognize that people are in financial transitions. You know what? Even with this whole argument, should you have church, should you not have church during this time? I told someone it takes just as much faith not to have church as it does to say we're going to worship during this time. What do you mean not to have church? Because people are not coming, but it still didn't stop us from getting a water bill, an electrical bill. But because your safety is our priority, we say, God, you're going to supply our need as a ministry during this time.
That's right.
But it also does not exempt us from practicing tithes and offering during this time, because that is an extension of worship.
Right.
And that is an extension and an expression still of our faith in God to say you're going to provide. And
right.
So that's just a quick blurb for when we get into that. So I need to get to this last one. Any questions, comments, anything you want to echo?
They've had some great comments and questions out here. Well, comments.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Elder Shawnette said, I am, about teaching the prayer boot camp. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be awesome. And she walks and lives in that. And she could teach it with her eyes closed. But I think this is so good. And just the biggest piece that I know I love, when I came into relationship with the Lord, it was emphasized that it is a relationship.
Yes.
And yes, I'm a girly girl who loves any type of love story. If it's a love story movie, I will watch it. But and remembering my walk with the Lord is an intimate relationship, that he is the lover mm-hmm. of my soul. That takes my prayer life and takes it off of the shelf of being religious or rote. It takes it off of the shelf of being something that is a duty to be done. And my ability to respond to God's authority comes off of that shelf of something that has to be done and puts it in the shelf of something I want to do, because it's out of that place of intimacy. It's out of that place of love. It's in a relationship.
I didn't mean to cut you off. It just hit me. You emphasizing relationship. It is easier to exercise faith the stronger the relationship is.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so one of the things is, during this time, the more I have a relationship with God, the easier it is to figure out my faith. Mm-hmm. Because when it's a duty,
right,
when it's a chore, mm-hmm, that only shows there's no relationship.
Right. That's it.
But because I know your character, I know your heart, even when I don't understand what's going on,
I can trust you.
Because the relationship is greater than the conditions.
Right. That's it. And the Lord, you know, he loves us. He gives us examples on how to live, mm-hmm, in everyday life.
Yes.
You know, you look at how a child trusts their parents, the younger children trust, mm-hmm, their parents without any regard. It is a blind trust. And we see how out of that relationship of love, you've always provided for me. Mom and dad, you've always loved on me. You've always cared for me, that you would see in a small toddler to a parent. That's how we are to come before the Lord. God, you've always provided for me. You've always cared for me. You've always loved on me. So I come to you in trust. And don't get us wrong. Lord knows. I understand. We started out talking about where our faith is bruised. And this is a traumatic time for many people. And our faith is tempted to be bruised. I don't want to assume that everybody's faith is being bruised right now, but I know that everybody has gone through seasons in their life when their faith has been bruised.
Yes.
Where, God, I prayed and you didn't answer the way I thought you would answer, which is why even approaching this text, we have to ask ourselves, Lord, am I in a place of trust? You know, am I in a place of trusting you, mm-hmm, so that I trust that, God, I can lean on you and you will catch me.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Am I in a place like you? We have to deal with that place of faith and where our faith is and in how allowing God to heal it. But not getting too far away from what we're talking about here, responding to God's authority in our lives and moving on to the fourth point.
Yes.
Which is,
replace my thoughts with God's truth, because he tells us, do not be wise in your own eyes. Mm-hmm. And I think it's fascinating. Again, Solomon, wisest man on the earth outside of Jesus, says, don't be wise in your own eyes. And I think part of the power of that verse is because what I see, mm-hmm, is facts, not always truth. Mm. In my own eyes, what I see is facts, not truth, which means my tendency as a human being is to exaggerate or understate. Both ends of the spectrum. Evaluate, it's either going to be to exaggerate or it's going to be to understate my gifts, my abilities, my resources, the situation, either end. I'm going to inflame it or I'm going to demote it. And the thing about it is that in my own eyes, I'm always looking at things for the most part as if they are final. Okay. I'm going to look at things as if they're final. And God says, if you're going to synchronize your faith, then you can't look at it through your own eyes. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Faith is looking at life through God's eyes. Faith are the spectacles and glasses that allows me to look at everything through God's eyes. Because watch this. When I look at what we're facing, what we're encountering, of course, I'm like, man, oh, my gosh, how are you going to pay bills? When are we going back to school? How are we going to get this done?
Right.
And then I'm like, man, I'm limited. I have this. And then I start responding according to what I see, because I've always said to us, feelings follow focus. So if I'm seeing it through my ability, that's why I'm down, because my ability is limited. So God says, if you're going to get your faith straight, then you have to look at it through my eyes. Don't be wise in your own eyes. So I got to replace my thoughts with God's truth. Mm. Measure everything by God's sovereignty and God's supremacy.
That's good.
Faith is measuring everything by God's sovereignty and supremacy. Truth is faithfulness to God's original intent and purpose. So when I encounter something, my faith is basically this: God is able to handle this. God got this.
Like, you got this, Lord.
You got this. But I don't see how. Because you're looking through your own eyes.
Right.
But when I get in God's eyes, God got this. God got this. God got this. Now, It doesn't mean the problem automatically leaves right the moment I say God got it. It means, yeah, he can handle this. Do my part, but I'm not going to respond as if it's all on my shoulder.
Right.
I'm going to respond based upon his sovereignty and his supremacy. My faith works best for me. My faith works for me the more truth is embedded as my foundation.
Yes.
The more truth is my foundation, faith is easy. That tells me right there, rest, because God got it.
Yes.
Because my thoughts have become replaced with truth. I just think, sometimes how we think get us in trouble.
Right, right.
But truth will always cause us to prevail.
Amen. You know, the Holy Spirit, the scripture says the Holy Spirit will bring all things to our remembrance.
Yes, yes.
And sometimes we forget that as we feed ourselves God's truth, as mm-hmm. we feed ourselves the truth of his word, as we feed ourselves faith. I found myself in this time when we're hearing all of this news and facts, you know, from what's happening outside in the world, I have found myself going back and picking up. There's a book that we have that R.W. Shambach wrote,
yes,
about miracles, feeding myself miracles. I have to feed myself the testimony that I will overcome by.
Yes.
And they're just miracles that may not even relate to what I have going on in my life right now, but I need to be reminded that God can do and God will do.
Yes.
You know, and so as we feed ourselves faith, as we feed ourselves God's word, the Holy Spirit is faithful to, in the times when we see something specific in our situation that is different, that is opposite of what God says, the Holy Spirit will bring that truth back up, you know,
yep,
and cause our faith to rise.
Yes, but so, you got to feed yourself.
Well, we have to.
But you
got to
feed yourself. So I'm wrapping this up. If you have any question about anything that we've covered, these 4 points on how to figure out our faith. Number one, restrain my heart from being divided. Number two, resist trying to make sense of everything. Number three, respond to God's authority in my life. Number four, replace my thoughts with God's truth. If you got any questions, go ahead and just put them up right now, and I'll try to get to a couple of them. But here's your big takeaway, your big so what, since we're back in DLC, trying to bring a little bit of our DNA from Sunday services here. Here is your big takeaway. Faith isn't hard to figure out when we figure out it's all about faith.
That's good.
Faith isn't hard to figure out when we come to the conclusion it's all about faith.
It's all about faith.
There is no way around it. It is all about faith.
There's no way around it. That's key. Sometimes we're looking for that way around it.
Can,
like,
I get out of this without trusting you? Can I get out of this without having to believe in you? Can I get out of this without having to bring my natural abilities and thinking under your supremacy and sovereignty? And the resounding question from beginning to end in the Bible is no. Here's what I have discovered. Faith is like an overpass and a bypass.
Okay. Tell me about it.
Yes, I will. The more I use faith, God will always give me the quickest way out and the easiest way out.
Okay.
The more I try to avoid faith, you're always on the long road. You're going to be on the long road. You're going to be in the traffic. You're going to be congested. You're going to be frustrated.
Congested's a good word.
But when you decide that faith is the way I walk and travel, your faith is going to work like a bypass. You're going to find out, man, it was easier this way. Because you know why? Because God is now shouldering the hard part. So here's your again, the big so what? Faith isn't hard to figure out. When we figure it out, it's all about faith. And so your weekly challenge is not a take-home challenge. Lauren Chestnut, our one half of the creative arts director, reminded me. She's like, well, since they're already home, it's not a take-home challenge. your keep-home challenge this week. Number one, I want you to read Proverbs 3, 5 through 10. We didn't go 8, 9, and 10 today, but I do want you to read it because it'll be a point of reference as we go through the series.
Yes.
I want you to read it 5 times this week. That means you can read it if you want to. You can read it in the NIV, yes, but I'm going to ask you to read it each day in a different translation.
Okay.
So go to crosswalk.com, BibleGateway.com, and they give you multitude of translation: New Living, Message, Contemporary English Version, Amplified, New Living, Passion Version. ESV, English Standard, just read it, different translation. Then I want you to memorize Proverbs 3, 5 through 10. Most of us got Proverbs 3, 5, trust in the Lord with all our heart. I'm just going to add on. So look, you got time. You got time. So memorize. And then 10 minutes a day, starting today, when we end this broadcast, I want you to take 10 minutes and just thank God for his protection and provision. So from today when we end, all the way until when we meet next week, just take 10 minutes and just thank God. Just thank God for provisions and protection. Just thank God for provisions and protection. Yeah. That is what I'm asking you to do. Now, do we have any questions? I don't know if I got any questions. I'll try to.
Well, I don't see any questions, but I do see, and I love, y'all, I love this DLC family. Because they are preaching on this here internet. They are preaching. Yeah. I love it. And then they're responding, and someone will repeat a message, yeah, or say something, repeat a statement, and then somebody else will say, amen, hallelujah, add to it. I love it. It is like a joint preach happening on here. So this is great.
We're tag team preaching.
It is tag team preaching. Yes,
so I'm going to ask, hear me. I'm going to ask that you would make sure that you would like this this Sunday service broadcast. Now I'm going to ask you to share it. Yes. I'm going to ask you to share it. Here's my faith step, my faith challenge for my own self. I am asking, when I say my own self, I'm talking about leading at DLC. I'm asking us collectively to step up our social media influence.
Yes.
And why? Because in this time, people need encouragement.
That's right. That's it.
And our name is Discover Life Church. Discover Life. Living in fullness every day. Mm. Living in fruitfulness every day. Living in faith every day.
Amen.
And so I'm going to ask that you would like it. I'm going to ask that you would share it. You can keep preaching it. Take these points. Make them your own Bible study. Whatever you need to do. But I'm going to ask all of DLC. I am asking you to join me in taking life across this world. You can't go to Uganda, but I can send this message there. Can't go to Florida, I can send this message. Can't go to Alabama, New Orleans, California. We can send. So I'm asking you to partner with us and take this message, like it, share it, do a watch party. So I'm expecting next week, we have a great, wow, love to see how many people watching us live. But I'm asking, and I'm going to believe God, my faith is going to be, we have, you know, a great number of people watching right now. Some people may say, well, how many? Well, the number says 134 right now. That just says right now. I'm looking at 134 people watching. We celebrate that. I know husband and wives are watching from one computer.
Right.
We celebrate that. But I'm asking, because we're going to take a faith step and get more people involved next week, we're going to see at least double. Invite everybody. It's not about the numbers. It's not about our ego. It's because in this season, while people are trying to figure things out, they got to start with their faith.
That's it.
They got to start with their faith in God, their faith in Jesus. And I believe God has raised us up to be a voice, a vehicle, to be a conduit to see those lives change. And so I'm going to close us out in prayer. Go ahead, Father. We love you. We thank you. We bless you. And we just speak the blessings over every person who's tuning in right now. If you're home and you're watching, just, you know, I'm sound like a television preacher right now. Stretch your hands towards me, because I just want to pray the blessings of God over your home, your house, the work of your hands, over your kids, over your marriage, over your thoughts, over your emotions, over your heart. We release the blessings of the Lord right now, that through the faith that God has given you, regardless of your faith level right now, that level of faith would bring you great peace and rest, that it would cause you to have the sweetest week of sleep you've ever had this week, that you would not have tormenting dreams or nightmares, that panic, worry, and fear would leave, and that the faith of God would be so strong and evident that as you respond to his authority and go through this season of figuring things out, you will figure things out, not by your natural senses, but under the influence of the Holy Spirit, which reminds you, God is in control. He's a good, good Father. And because you're a son of the Most High, his love would not let you fail. So we love you and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day. Have a great week. Love you.